Who's ready for the word? Come on. I think I've done everything, haven't I, everybody? Yeah. Michelle says yes. Come on, let's pray. Father, we just thank you that we can worship you. Thank you, Lord, for your word right now. And we pray you'll give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us all today. Father, we just pray for all of us that there'll be something in this message today that will resonate with every one of us. We want to go home better than the way we've came in. And we pray your word, Lord, as it settles into our heart, will produce fruit to your honor and glory in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. I remember, which is amazing because these days I keep forgetting a lot, who's ever looked at somebody and you know them really well and for the life of you can't remember their name? Happened to me this morning. And I'm not going to tell you who it was. It could have been you. Yeah, it was Rochelle. And then I'm thinking, seriously? And then you can't let it go. You've got to remember their name. Who's like that? Yeah. Anyway, here we go. I do remember some things. I remember many years ago, it was a very long time ago, as a child, putting my hand up in a church similar to this. And I put my hand up in a church because the preacher invited me to do so, invited everybody to do so, to become a Christian and a follower of Jesus. So I put my hand up, and then the next thing was, is that I said the sinner's prayer. How many people here can remember ever saying the sinner's prayer? Anybody remember? Put your hand up. Come on, put your hand. Yeah. That's probably most of you. And you said the sinner's prayer to receive Jesus as your Savior. I actually recall becoming a Christian several times. Who's done it several times? Yeah. The first time, didn't quite get it right. Second time, didn't quite get it right. It took me 3 goes to be a Christian. Amen. It did. And the final time, I was still a child. Final time was at a children's camp. And at the camp, I just experienced God. And ever since that time, I've always followed Jesus. But it took me 3 goes, you know. And so today, what we're going to do, before the end of the service, we're going to have a moment. I'm not going to preach too long, but we're going to have a moment where anyone here who desires to get right with God, you can get right with God today. We're going to have a moment for you, and today you can start to follow Jesus Christ. Because following Jesus Christ is the smartest thing that you could do. Amen. Not only do you get a place in heaven, but He blesses you in the here and now. Amen. 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 Praise God. My mother's brain is not working. I'll tell you about this. I'm just, things far off in my head as I'm just talking. I'm thinking about my mum. I see her every Monday. She's got dementia. She can barely talk. But there's life in her. Yeah. And they just love my mum. And I just did a random visit one day, and these, they're African ladies who are just full of love. Always fussing over my mum. And we show up on Monday, and they always dress her up for the visit. They buy her clothes. Well, they get clothes from somewhere. I don't know if they're paying for them, but they come. Probably other clients' clothes. I think they swap them around. They put little earrings in her ears and do her hair up. And we just never know what she's going to look like. Sometimes she looks full on African, other times really conservative. And then one day I just said to them, these girls, because they were just gave her a big kiss on her cheek. And I said, how come you love my mother so much? And then they said, she's just got so much love in her. I'm going, what? And then she says one of the ladies was sick one day. She still had to show up for work, and she was ill. I think she might have actually vomited or something in the toilet in my mother's room. And my mother's instinct, though she's got dementia, was to minister to her and rub her back. And that just blew this lady's mind, you know. She said, wow. When you get born again, it transcends your brain and something happens in your spirit. And even when your brain's not working, you still have Jesus Christ living in your heart. And so to follow Jesus is not just to turn over a new leaf, it's to have a supernatural experience that lasts all the way to heaven. Amen? Well, over the last few weeks, I've been attempting to draw your attention to this verse that says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. What a great Bible verse. How true it is. It's a wonderful verse, and it's talking about the Bible. The Bible being a light for the path of life. Most people have got no idea where they're going. You need to follow the teachings of the Bible. Amen. And throughout history, blessing and prosperity has followed those who elevate the Bible within their hearts. Even whole communities, even whole nations historically have been impacted positively when they follow the Bible. Amen? And so I've been encouraging us all to put our trust in the Bible rather than in the myths about God and about life. These myths that seem to permeate throughout our Aussie culture. And there are all sorts of myths that are impacting people's lives, and we see it all the time. And so over the last few Sundays, by the way, I didn't preach last Sunday, and weren't the preachers phenomenal last weekend? First service, Far preached. In the second service, we had Andrew preach, and I want to say well done to you both. Great messages. I got born again in both services again last week. Amen. That was so good. But when I have been speaking, we've been speaking about these myths. And so we've been on a little journey to burst some of the dangerous big myths that are messing with people's lives. And the last time I spoke, 2 weeks ago, we dealt with the dangerous myth of evolution. I was looking forward to some pushback on that, but nobody would take me on, even on the internet. Anyway, there you go. Everybody agreed with me. That was great. And so I just want to remind everybody that evolutionary theory says your father was a microbe. Sometimes you might think that he is, but he's not. Amen. The Bible says your father is God. We're made in the image of God. So much pain, so much destruction has been unleashed upon Australia because of the theory of evolution. It's very dangerous. And so today, I'm going to address another dangerous big myth. But this one is different because it's a lot closer to home. And when I start to talk about what it is, don't get alarmed. Don't get mad. Because at the end, you'll be glad. So a moment ago, I spoke about the time when I prayed the sinner's prayer. The sinner's prayer was a defining moment in my life. Nonetheless, I want to burst the dangerous big myth that says praying the sinner's prayer will guarantee you a place in heaven. This is a myth. Praying the sinner's prayer will guarantee you a place in heaven. I'm asserting that it is a myth to believe that just because you prayed a sinner's prayer, you are guaranteed a place in heaven. And if that's the reason why you think you're going to heaven, then you're on spiritually dangerous ground. What is the sinner's prayer? The sinner's prayer can also be called the prayer of salvation. The sinner's prayer refers to any prayer of repentance prayed by individuals who feel they need to get right with God so that they can go to heaven. And so there's a variety of sinner's prayers. I came across this sinner's prayer on the internet. Michelle liked this one. God, I'm pretty rotten. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. So I invite Jesus into my heart. Thanks for that. Amen. Well, that's deep. That's straight to the point. I prefer the sinner's prayer that Billy Graham wrote and that he sometimes used. And he had different variations of this. This is what Billy Graham wrote. He says, "Dear God," and he gets people to say this when he invites them forward to his crusades. He says, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your son. I believe that he died for my sin and that you raised him to life. I want to trust in him as my savior and follow him as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me to do your will. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen." That's actually a great prayer to pray, isn't it? Yeah, really good. And it's actually also on the front page of today's newsletter. You might want to share that with somebody later. However, this might come as a surprise to one or two, there's actually no specific sinner's prayer or prayer of salvation listed anywhere in the Bible. The closest you'll get to it is actually Psalm 51. You just don't find the sinner's prayer in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say anywhere, pray the sinner's prayer and you'll be saved from your sins. It doesn't say that anywhere. Yet, if you've been attending church, this church, other churches, for any length of time, you will have observed that often at the end of a message, a preacher, just like myself, will invite people to get right with God. I intend to do that today. And we invite people to put their hands up. That's a thing we do. Or perhaps even to come forward to the front of the church. And then the preacher or somebody will then often lead the repentant person to pray a sinner's prayer with the intent of creating a sacred moment where a person can encounter Jesus Christ and be made right with God. As a preacher, I've done this countless times over the years, and I still intend to keep doing it. And I actually do believe strongly in praying the sinner's prayer. And I also believe that God answers such prayers. Many, many lives have been changed as people have prayed the sinner's prayer. And there are many people going to heaven who said the sinner's prayer. I'm going to heaven, and I said the sinner's prayer several times. Nonetheless, it is still misleading to suggest that just because you said the sinner's prayer, then you are automatically guaranteed a place in heaven, because that's just simply not the case. I'll go even further. It's also a myth to say that because you received Holy Communion, you automatically have a place in heaven. Likewise, it's also a myth to say that just because you were baptized in water, that God will guarantee you a place in heaven. You cannot guarantee eternal life and a place in heaven just by doing sinners' prayers, communions, and baptisms. I'm telling you the truth. Are these things important? Absolutely. They're very important. But doing these things for the sake of doing these things will never give anybody a free pass into eternal life. You'll never get through those pearly gates just by doing these things. Australia is full of people who have said the sinner's prayer at some place and at some time. Maybe they said it in a church like ours. Maybe at a youth meeting. Maybe at a Billy Graham crusade. Or maybe in someone's home. And yet today these same people hardly spare a thought about Jesus and his place in their lives. Australia is full of people who have received Holy Communion and have even given thanks to God for sending Jesus. But yet many of these same people today are far from God and have no interest in letting God influence their lives. Am I right? You know I'm right. Similarly, there are lots of people who have been christened and there are lots of people who have been baptized in full immersion in water, yet they certainly have no regard for God and they do not follow Jesus. Nonetheless, alarmingly, so many people have been duped by this big myth that since they've done the religious thing of praying Jesus into their heart, and because they can tick that box of being there, done that, they think that they stand a good chance of making it into heaven, irrespective of how they continue to live their lives. And that kind of thinking is so dangerous. Since I'm putting myself right out there, we may as well go the whole way with this sermon. Amen. It's also a myth to say that just because Jesus healed you, and you've had a supernatural miracle, just because you might have gone down under the power of the Holy Spirit, that is a myth to suggest because those things have happened to you that you are a certainty for heaven. The miracle you received only just means God has been kind and merciful to you and that somebody prayed for you. It's a myth to say that just because you lifted your hands to Jesus and enjoyed his presence that you're guaranteed a place in heaven. Lots of people lift their hands to the Lord, but their hearts yearn for other things. It's a myth that all pastors and priests get an automatic free pass to heaven. I have a minister's credential in my bag, which is just in the back room just there, that tells me I'm allowed to visit people in hospital, I'm allowed to preach the gospel. I'm credentialed with the Assemblies of God, the ACC. But when I stand before St. Peter, if it is St. Peter, who knows, those pearly gates, he won't care two hoots about my minister's credential. What he will care about is what did I do with Jesus Christ. But it's an especially huge myth to say that just because you're a very sincere person that you're going to heaven. I'm going through things I've heard from everybody. I've heard this so many times. Just because you're a sincere person, you're going to go to heaven. What a myth. There are lots of nice people around. You don't have to be a Christian to be nice. In fact, I so know some non-Christians who are a lot nicer than some Christians I know. That's the truth. You know, we like to knock atheists. Let me tell you, there's some very moral, clean-living atheists. A lot of sincere people going around. And people who have sincere values and sincere thoughts about life. And there's a lot of people now describe themselves as spiritual. They don't do church or anything like that, but they say, no, I'm a spiritual person. And they're sincere about their spirituality. These pleasant people, they're into anything ranging from yoga, Buddhism, New Age ideology, you know, the crystals and all that, right through to people who are part of the Jedi religion. Who knows about the Jedi religion? Yeah, it's true. It's a religion. And they're sincere. Absolutely, the force is with them, yeah. But sincerity, ladies and gentlemen, is not the pathway to eternal life. Fanatical terrorists are very sincere about their behavior, and they're not going to heaven, are they? You can sincerely catch a train from Perth to Gosnells, but if you get on the train to Fremantle by mistake, your sincerity will not change your destination. You can be nice, kind, and sincere, but you can be nice, kind, and sincerely wrong. We must also understand that it's just not easy to get into heaven. Some people make it sound like it's such an easy thing. It's not easy to get into heaven. It's really hard to get into heaven. It's easy to go to hell. It's hard to go to heaven. It's easy to go to hell. It's a very, you know, mumbling a prayer with a tear running down your cheek is not a sure guarantee that you've received eternal life and a place in heaven. Because it is very hard for fallen sinners like me, like you, to obtain salvation and receive the gift of eternal life and have a home in heaven. It's very hard. Indeed, becoming right with God is not a light or trivial thing. It's not a light or trivial thing to be forgiven of your sins. It's a major event, the most major event in a person's life. Consider these perplexing scriptures regarding getting into heaven. Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, "There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death." A lot of people are walking on a path, well-meaning people, that seems right, but it's wrong. It's not right, but they're still on it. It leads to the wrong place. They're on the wrong train. What train are you on? Are you on the right train? Consider this scripture, Matthew 7, 13 to 14. Jesus said this, says, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is wide, it's broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow," and listen to this next bit, "and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it." That's an uplifting scripture, isn't it, this morning? You think, well, I'm going to go home better for having come here today. Let's keep going. Not everyone, this is Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Jesus said this, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." That's interesting where it says, "Lord, Lord." In the scriptures, behind that from the Greek, it actually is Lord, Lord, somebody saying actually saying it affectionately. Lord, Lord. It's interesting, I was reading some stats this morning about all the people who love Jesus, but they hate the church. But the stat, they say it's really high, the amount of people who love Jesus. But the first thought that came to me is they've obviously never read the New Testament to see what Jesus has to say, particularly this passage. I'm affectionate about Jesus. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Wow. Okay, let's go on to the next slide. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, Jesus said, I never knew you. Who are you? Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Well, that's a very positive scripture as well this morning. Can it get any worse? Probably will. Amen. Somebody on the final day, and these are serious matters. Somebody will say, I pray it will be nobody here. That's why I'm preaching about this. I expect to see you all in heaven. But wouldn't it be terrible if somebody says, Lord, I said the sinner's prayer. Lord, I not only received communion, but I got baptized in water too. Lord, I even went to real life church and shook Pastor David's hand. And I felt the anointing. Lord, truth is, you know this is true. My behavior is better than most Christians in real life church. But Jesus will say, get away from me. I don't even actually know who you are. We never met. Have you met Jesus Christ? See, it's a hard thing to get into heaven. This is why. It's a hard thing because it's hard to escape from going to a lost eternity because we're drawn by our own rebellion and by our own sin and our own warped desires towards the wrong paths in life. We just like the wrong paths too much. We do not take following Jesus or eternity seriously, and we become too blasé about such matters as these. So therefore, if you are on the right path, which I think there's lots of people here on the right path this morning, but if you are on the right path today, then you must make sure you express your gratitude to God for his mercy to you. Be thankful that you're saved and that you're born again and that you're following Jesus Christ. Your salvation has come at a great cost. And Jesus died on the cross for you. But even right now, heaven is working overtime to help you stay on the right path. You're exhausting the angels sometimes, a lot of you. What are they thinking of doing again? Oh, I helped them already. Okay, yeah, yeah. Keep them on the straight and narrow. Truth is that as a pastor, Michelle and I were just talking about this. I'm a very optimistic, positive person. Who knows that? I generally bounce back. I can have a bad day, but the next day I've forgotten about it. It's the way I'm wired up, generally. Unless if the Eagles lose a football match. Amen. But there are some things that do bother me as a pastor, and I've never told you this, and things that do upset me and upset Rochelle. And what we get upset about the most is when we think about people who used to walk with the Lord. And they prayed the sinner's prayer, and I actually have baptized a lot of people here who are not walking with the Lord, and And they've fallen away. And it really bothers us. And, you know, this year the church turned 20. And it's all great. It's all good. But I'm just telling you how it is. And then we start to reminisce. And we start to think of people. And we think, how are they doing? I haven't seen them. Are they going to church anywhere? You know, if somebody wants to go to another church better than this, I've got no problems with that. There's lots of churches better than ours. I get that. I understand that. But as long as people make it to heaven, you know. And then, you know, then Rochelle, generally it's Rochelle who suggests that we're not that good at what we do. Sometimes we don't feel very good at what we do. I think, I must be a lousy pastor. Sometimes I'm just telling you how I feel. Sometimes I think, how come they're not walking with Jesus? What could we have done as a church? What extra thing could we have done? What did I forget to preach? And it's heartbreaking. And the truth is, if everybody who got saved at Real Life Church stayed with us, there wouldn't be an auditorium in Western Australia big enough to fit us all in. There's nothing really positive to say about that. So we're having a great time and we want to move forward. We want to conquer Gosnells. But in the background, we mustn't forget those who have fallen away. And maybe you've fallen away and you come to church today. Maybe you've fallen away, you haven't even realized you still come to church. You know, you can come to church and still be falling away in your heart. It's like being married to somebody and not really loving them. You still live in the same house. Well, this is the word of the Lord. Just a scripture here came to mind. If you've fallen away from the Lord, please come back to the Lord. And he is so gracious. He says, the scripture says, return to the Lord, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And I'll tell you this. Don't come and counsel me afterwards or anything else like that. I'm actually okay. But Michelle and I have always had the attitude. I'm just going to tell you this. We've always had the attitude, if there was somebody else who put their hand up who could lead Real Life Church better than what we could, you are welcome in Jesus' name. Amen. Absolutely. I'll get alongside you and help you. Really. We just want to see people saved. Amen. And don't you backslide. Don't you dare. Don't break my heart. Don't do that. Amen. That wasn't in my notes, but anyway. So let's remember the Bible does not say just pray the sinner's prayer and you're guaranteed a place in heaven. What does the Bible actually say? What did Jesus say about eternal life? Well, in John chapter 6, Jesus was very clear, direct, and for some highly controversial in explaining how a person receives eternal life. Let's read it. So Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, Jesus, and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise that person at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die, but will live forever. Many of his disciples said, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it? Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining. So he said to them, does this offend you? Then what will you think if you see the Son of Man ascend to heaven again? The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I've just spoken to you are spirit and life. Jesus was not promoting or suggesting cannibalism. I just want to clear that up. Jesus said his words were spirit and life. Jesus was teaching us that the most profound spiritual truth concerning eternal life. Just activity. Eternal life is in a person, and it's in that person named a part of you. And I had some breakfast. Anybody eat breakfast before they came? I had some muesli this morning. Amen. It's in there. My stomach's digesting it. Just as food becomes a part of you, it nourishes you, it strengthens you, it refreshes you, and it actually then, it becomes part of your cells and your body, becomes part of your body. In the same way, by receiving Jesus Christ into every area of your life, he brings eternal life with him into you. Jesus brings heaven with him into you. Heaven isn't just a place. It's something that begins today when Jesus comes into you. He brings heaven into you. The seeds of heaven come into you. Jesus brings the nourishment of heaven with him into you. And what is the nourishment of heaven? It is a gift of eternal life. If you're right with God today, you have eternal life in you. And it comes out of you, just like my mother in a demented state. Here she is, the eternal life that God put within her, welling up within her. If you want eternal life, and any reasonable person would, if you want eternal life and a future home in heaven, then you come to Jesus Christ. And he makes you, listen, you come to Jesus Christ and he doesn't fix you because you're not fixable. You're broken completely. He comes and he makes you into a new creation. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not yet, not I, but Christ lives in me. Amen. So you take him into your life. This is what we should be doing. You let him invade every room in your heart. The biggest mistake you can make as a Christian is to say, Jesus, you can come into my heart, that room, but certainly not that room. And then you're on dangerous ground straight away. You're just as likely to walk away. No, every room in your heart should be open to Jesus Christ. You don't hold anything back. You surrender your will to him and you let him sit on the throne of your heart. And that's hard to do. And he becomes number one. You worship him. I enjoy the footy. I've got no problems with it. But I don't worship it. I don't worship it. You worship him. You learn from him. You submit your life to him. You walk with him. You live for him. You acknowledge him in all your decisions. You wait upon him. You reverence him. You suffer for him sometimes. You trust him. You obey him. You shine for Jesus. You follow Jesus. You copy Jesus. You feed upon Jesus and he nourishes you. Jesus said himself that he is a true bread of heaven. And just as you daily eat natural bread, so we daily feed upon Jesus Christ by engaging him each and every day through his word, through prayer, through obeying him, and through others. I've nearly finished, everybody, sort of. I really nearly have. Jesus Christ is the only gateway to heaven. So important that we don't compromise on that. Jesus Christ is the only pathway to heaven and eternal life. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There is no other way. Receiving communion is powerless when your heart belongs to other gods and desires. But receiving communion is powerful and sweet when you participate with a heart that delights in the relationship you have with God through Jesus Christ. Baptism is just an excuse to get wet. When you have no intention of living under the authority of Jesus Christ. But baptism is life-defining when you declare to the world that you died to your past life and now living for Jesus. The sinner's prayer does not guarantee an entrance to heaven. Indeed, the sinner's prayer is powerless to save you when it's nothing more than a religious exercise. Indeed, the faithless sinner's prayer is a busted myth. Just saying a prayer, even a sinner's prayer, is not a guarantee of getting into heaven. However, the sinner's prayer is powerful when it's prayed with a humble, hungry heart for the one who can save you, who is our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, on the front page of your newsletter is a sinner's prayer. Some of you have got it there. That Billy Graham wrote. And we've got it there on the TV screen. And maybe you've never, ever said this sinner's prayer before. Maybe you have. And just saying it with a half-hearted attitude is meaningless and weak. I think I've made that very clear today. But when you pray the sinner's prayer with conviction and humbleness of heart to Almighty God, then watch out what the Lord will do in you and for you. He will respond to that prayer and he will give you a place in heaven. He will give you the gift of eternal life as you surrender yourself to Jesus Christ. And so today, thought it'd be a good way to finish our service. It would be good if we all could stand and pray this sinner's prayer together. Would you like to stand with me? We've got it on the screen. Now, before we start, I just want to say this. For some here today, this might be the first time that you've ever prayed such a prayer from your heart. I prayed it at least 3 times before I got the hang of it. And maybe you have put your hand up. But you know, you haven't quite got the hang of it. But today is your day to get the hang of what it means to be a Christian. So as we pray this, pray it from your heart. Now, you might be a veteran Christian. You might have been saved, you know, for the last 60, 70 years. But why don't we still say this precious prayer that Billy Graham wrote? It's Bible-based. And let's say it as a recommitment to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can we do that, everybody? Saying, yeah, I'm going to make this really work for me today because I'm going to engage my faith. I'm going to humble myself. I'm reminding myself that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we can all pray this prayer together. People who are praying for the first time or trying to get the hang of what it means to be a Christian, right through to people who have been a Christian for many, many years. We can make this prayer a real life-defining moment for us all today. In Jesus' name. Will you pray with me? Here we go. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he died for my sin and that you raised him to life. I want to trust him as my Savior and follow him as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me to do your will. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, let's praise him. Come on, let's praise him. What about saying thank you to Jesus? Say thank you, Jesus, for answering this prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.